Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Pollock. That was a blessing. Great old song that's been around since the 50s and sounded a lot better with her singing it than me reading it last week in my sermon. As a blessing. Open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read quite a bit of Scripture this morning for several reasons. Number one, I don't have anything to say more important than what God says. And secondly, like Dr. Tom Malone, I read Scripture until I get up enough courage to preach. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrow. And in my Bible I have marked between verse 8 and 9 the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Let me tell you, for people that are saved during the tribulation period and endure to the end, they're going to have to be tough. They're going to have to be unusual people. And this, the gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to those that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And I have marked right here between verse 20 and 21 the midway point of the tribulation. The midway point in the tribulation. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the power of heaven, the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then I have marked here between verse 31 and verse 32, the return of Christ in glory with his saints. Now verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, that is, the coming of Christ is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were before, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I want to speak on this subject this morning. I still believe in the second coming of Christ. I still believe in the second coming of Christ. Father, help me as I bring this message today, and may you awaken in the hearts of men and women the reality that Jesus is coming again. And I pray that you might save every unsaved person listening to my voice today. Lord, we may escape storms, and we may escape hurricanes, and we may escape tornadoes, and we may escape from earthquakes. But in that day when Jesus comes, it's going to affect every man, woman, boy, or girl. And no one that's unprepared shall be able to escape. Help me, Heavenly Father, to be able to bring the message in such a way that it might encourage the hearts of believers and stir with conviction and concern the hearts of those that have never accepted Christ as Savior. I ask you to save every person listening to my voice this day. And I ask, O Heavenly Father, would you help us as believers to look at our own life and our walk with God and our relationship as a Christian with you and your church and your will? Are we right? Are we faithful? Are we what we ought to be? Are we ready for Jesus to come again? Fill me with thy Spirit and speak through me. Help me to be thy instrument to preach this blessed truth today that Jesus is coming again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I say again, I still believe that Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that? We certainly don't hear much preaching about his second coming today. And if we do, it's by some people preaching some weird stuff. What we need to do is to understand the Bible truth. Let me tell you, the tribulation and the second coming of Christ and the battle of Armageddon is bad enough. I don't have to add to it. Dear soul, if we'll just believe what the Bible teaches and get ready, it'll be enough. We don't have to come up with some weird fanaticism. God is not telling us as Christians to forsake everything, meet together on a mountain and do nothing but wait. In fact, over and over again, He has told us as Christians to occupy till He comes, to keep on doing His business in His church, carrying the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth until Jesus comes again. That's our job. That's our responsibility. In chapter 24, the disciples asked our Lord the question, "When are you coming again? And what shall be the signs of your coming and the end of the world?" I remember when I was a little boy growing up in churches, in the Baptist church in East Texas, preachers back then would preach on the end of the world. They were preaching on end time events, and they would use this statement, the end of the world. But let me tell you something, according to the Bible, the end of the ages and the church age and the world as we know it today is going to come to an end, but the earth is not going to cease to exist. It's going to be renovated by fire and be restored to its pre-sinful state so that it'll be like it was back in the garden. But it's not going to cease to exist. It's not going to explode and go into little smithereens so that there is no longer an earth. God has plans for it. I don't know all about them. He doesn't reveal all about them. But we do know that there is a new heaven and a new earth, a new atmospheric heaven and a new earth that's been renovated by fire that will be in existence during the millennial reign and for eternity before the new Jerusalem comes down. Now, allow me to make two statements to help understand just what the disciples are talking about when they say, "Tell us, when shall these things be and what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" May I say, first of all, statement number one, the second coming of Christ for the saved is the next event on God's calendar of prophecy. It's called the rapture in theology. The second coming of Christ is divided in two events. The first event is the rapture of the saved and the rapture of church. That'll mark the end of the church age. It'll mark the beginning of the tribulation period of 7 years on the earth. At the beginning of that tribulation, the rapture will take place and every saved person, every Christian, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and we shall forever be with the Lord. At that time, the Antichrist will come to power on the earth. And on the earth, God will finish His work with the nation of Israel. And in the last 3.5 years of that tribulation period, God will pour out His wrath on the earth and its inhabitants that are left after the rapture. Christ will return to the earth after that 7-year period known as the tribulation. And there He'll return with His saints and He'll meet Antichrist and the false prophet in the battle of Megiddo and the battle of Armageddon will take place. And then Antichrist and false prophet and the devil will be cast into the bottomless pit and Christ will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, that's just a statement of summary in general of end time events known as the second coming of Jesus Christ. I say again, statement number two, when the scripture talks about the end of the world, it's referring to the end of the ages as we now know it. The earth will be renovated with fire before New Jerusalem comes down from heaven and hovers above the earth. I believe the earth will be brought back to its pre-sin condition. And And I believe God has plans for it throughout all eternity. I don't know what they are, and neither do you. Let me emphasize, we can be dogmatic where the Bible is dogmatic, but where the Bible is not clear, we don't need to try to insert our opinion as Bible truth. Now, what we must be concerned about today is the next event that's to happen in prophecy. That next event is the rapture. Jesus will come one day soon. The trumpet will sound and the archangel will shout to mark the coming of Jesus in the clouds. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Jesus comes, the dead saved, the dead in Christ shall be raised first. And then all the saved that are living shall be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be given a new body. A body likened to the resurrected body of Christ. And we'll all be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall forever be with Jesus. Now it's the duty of the preacher, the God-called preacher, to preach this truth. We're to make sure we are ready for His coming. And it is our job as a church to try to get as many people ready for heaven as possible. Are you ready for that trip today? Week after next, Mrs. Smith and I are going to take our 50th wedding anniversary trip. We're going up to the Northeast and see what it looks like up there in autumn. And we're going to end up at Niagara Falls. And oh my soul, I never thought there's so many things you got to think of and do to get ready for a trip. That's just 2 weeks. Are you ready for the trip of trips? Have you made preparation for when Jesus does come again? Now, I want my message to be very simple this morning. It's not new. It's fresh, but it's not new truth. But I want you to understand that Jesus is coming again. The first place, first point I want to emphasize today about His coming is that His coming is sure. He is coming again. Just as surely as Jesus came the first time in the incarnation to die for our sins on Calvary, He's coming again for those who have been saved. Are you aware that there are more prophecies in the Bible concerning the second coming of Jesus than there are concerning His first coming? He did come. They didn't receive Him when He did come. They crucified Him when He did come. People turned away and refused to walk with Him when He did come that first time. May I say to you, He's coming again. When He came that first time, He came to die for us. He came to make it possible for sinners to be saved. He came to open a door and provide a way whereby we could have life everlasting with Jesus. When He comes again, He's going to gather those who have put their trust in Christ. Take us home to be with Him. His coming is sure. All of the prophecies leading up to the coming of Christ have already been fulfilled. The only prophecies that are not fulfilled concerning the second coming are those dealing with the tribulation period and the battle of Armageddon. But may I say to you, even many of those signs and prophecies are seen in evidence in our day. The world and even in some Christian circles are talking in terms of if Jesus comes. May I say to you, it's not if, but when. His coming is sure. John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Look over in verse number 35 of this chapter. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. More certain than the sunrise tomorrow is the promise of Jesus that he's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Secondly, his coming will be sudden. Matthew 24, verse 27 says, for as lightning comes out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Isn't it amazing? Light travels faster than sound. So we always see the lightning before we hear the thunder that's associated with it. May I say to you, before we hear the thunder of the tribulation, we'll see the lightning of Jesus coming. And it's going to be sudden. It's going to be quickly. It's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It'll be in the hour men think not. His coming will be sudden. So sudden is his coming that there'll be no time to get ready when the shout comes. Now is the sinner's getting ready time. Are you ready today? Are you ready for Jesus coming? I'm certain that no one person wants to be left behind when the rapture takes place. But there may be people here today who are not saved. There'll be no second chances after the rapture. There'll be no second chances for sinners to get saved. As quickly as lightning flashes, one day the shout will come. The archangel will shout. The trumpet will sound. And Jesus will appear in the heavens to catch the saved up to be with him. All that are ready will be caught up to meet him. Those that have not made the necessary preparations will be left behind. His coming will be sudden. Sudden. I say that again. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the preparation time. The third thing I want to point out quickly this morning is the second coming of Christ will be scoffed at and doubted by many as we approach the time of his coming. In Matthew 24, verse 37, 38, and 39, the Bible says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They laughed at Noah and his preaching. He warned them. He didn't have one convert in all the time that he preached that the flood was coming. They laughed, they mocked, they went about their business as normal, eating and drinking and marrying and planning wedding and doing business and ignoring the preaching of God's word and the warning of God's messenger. I have no doubt they scoffed and laughed as they doubted. Building an ark. It's never rained. A flood? What's a flood? One day God said, Noah, get in the ark. And God closed the door. And it started raining. Then he opened up the fountains of the deep. It happened just like God said. And he says, listen, in the day that Jesus comes, there will be scoffers and doubters mocking the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. He says it a different way in 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He said it'd be that way. There would be scoffers saying, I don't believe that. He hadn't come yet. Everything's going on like it's always been. It always will go on like it's always been. Jesus said, expect it. But don't you believe it. because His coming will be sure. His coming will be sudden. His coming will be scoffed at and doubted. But Jesus said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And He said that in context with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Bible preaching will not be popular in the last day. It'll not be popular. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Talking about the end time, the last time, the time right before Jesus coming. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Now listen, that doesn't say that they'll look for teachers that's got ears that itch. They'll say they're looking for teachers and preachers that'll tickle their ears, that won't preach them the truth. And then we've come to that day. May I say also that Jesus' coming not only is sure and it'll be sudden and it'll be met with scoffing and mocking and doubting, that His coming will be soon. Matthew 24, verse 34 said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Jesus said, in this generation, everything will happen necessary to happen before Jesus comes in the rapture in that generation. It's already happened. His coming will be soon. Christ's coming is so near that we can see the fulfillment of signs all around us pertaining to the tribulation. Look in verses 6, 7, and 8. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. That literally means race against race. Religion against religion. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. His coming is soon. All nations are already lining up in agreement with prophecy from the book of Ezekiel and Daniel concerning what will happen during the tribulation. They're lining up just like God said. I'm trying to tell you, His coming is soon. His coming is soon. And I've got to ask you again, are you ready for His coming? He is coming soon. Then may I say also quickly, at Jesus' coming, He will be selective at the rapture. Look at Matthew 24, verse 40 and 41. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Now the context of all of this is second coming. Now we're hearing preachers preach today a universal salvation. That everybody's going to heaven. How long has it been since you've been to a funeral where the preacher said this man was never saved? God, they try to preach everybody into heaven no matter how they lived. Some family members don't even recognize who the preacher's talking about when they're talking about their own husband and daddy. But Jesus coming, God's Word said He's going to be selective in gathering people when He comes. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding, one will be taken, and the other left. Who will be taken? That's the question. Who will be left? That question ought to be burning in our hearts and souls today. Let me say to you plainly that only the saved, only those who've accepted Christ as their personal Savior will be caught up to be with the Lord. And every unsaved person anywhere in this world will be left behind to face tribulation, Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet, and then the lake of fire forever and forever. Now's the time to ask, Are you saved? Are you truly saved? Do you know that you're saved? There's only one way of salvation. That's the Bible way of salvation. That's through faith in Jesus Christ. It's on the merits of grace, not works. It's a gift to be accepted, not something to be earned. Are you saved and know it? Do you know that you know that you know that you've been saved the Bible way? Let me say here, religion or church membership cannot replace being born again. It is no substitute with God. You must be saved. There's a far difference between Christianity and religion, Christianity and simply a church membership. You must be born again to be a part of God's family. And only those that have been born again, according to the Bible, will be taken. The rest will be left behind, no matter if they're religious. Now let me finish up quickly. In verse 44, the Lord Jesus exhorts all of God's children to be sure that they are also ready. Matthew 24, verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." You see, it's possible to be truly saved and still not be ready to face our Savior in the judgment seat of Christ. One is not ready if he's living in willful sin. One is not ready if he has a heart full of bitterness and anger and hatred. A Christian is not ready if he's living in immorality. Let me go ahead and say this. It's popular today, but it's wrong. You're not ready if you're a Christian living with someone as husband and wife and you're not married. Don't tell me you're anxious to face Jesus in that condition. I wouldn't be. Now's the time to ask, am I truly saved? You're not ready if you're not saved. A Christian is not ready to face God if he's unfaithful to worship and serve the Lord in a local New Testament church that believes the Bible and tries to practice it. I want on my record that I'm saved and know it, that I've been scripturally baptized like the Bible teaches, and that I'm a faithful member and supporter and servant of God in His local New Testament church. A Christian's not ready for Jesus coming if you have unsaved loved ones and you've never done anything to try to win them to Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit is working in some Christian's heart this morning, telling you that you're not ready like you are. Now, I'm not trying to be condemning. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone. I'm simply saying Jesus is coming and it's our job to get ready, and nobody can get ready for Bob Smith but Bob Smith. Nobody can get saved for you but you. And finally, Jesus tells us that when He comes, there'll be a time of both rejoicing and weeping. God's faithful children will be rejoicing as we meet our Savior face to face and receive our reward. Matthew 24, verse 45 through 46 says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord shall, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Faithful. It's going to be a blessed day, a hallelujah day. But on the other hand, there'll also be a terrible time of weeping when all those who are unprepared and the unfaithful have to face Christ at their time of judgment. Matthew 24, verse 50 and 51. The context of this is the coming of the Lord Jesus. "The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, that's my message this morning. I want you to know Jesus is coming again. His coming is sure. His coming will be sudden. His coming will be scoffed at and mocked at. His coming is soon, and His coming will be selective. Why? Answer, why, please, other than being deceived by Satan, would anyone put off trusting Christ as Savior today? Why, other than being deceived by Satan, would any child of God ignore their need of getting right and ready for Christ's coming? He is coming again. Why don't we obey the Holy Spirit and come? Why don't we make preparation? Why don't we confess our sin? Why don't we get right with God in our heart and our life and our walk and our ways? If you're here today, why don't you get saved? Why don't you trust Christ today and settle it forever? God is not telling you about this so He can put a scare tactic on you. God is telling us so we can be prepared, so we can be ready, so we can make every day count for Christ. You see, this is God's getting ready time so we can be on the right side at Jesus' coming. Are you ready? Father, that's our message this morning. I've tried to make it simple and keep it simple. Lord, I pray that You